another episode here of Whiskey Throttle Radio presented by the Moto Hub. We have a great episode for you guys here. We have North Carolina native. He's riding under the JGR tent this outdoor season. You've seen him. He got wicked good starts at Millville. It's the number 119 of Isaac Teasdale. We talked to him about his season so far, his goals for the last three nationals, his deal with JGR. He kind of explains that a bit. Really good interview. Isaac's a really cool dude. After that, we have Florida amateur Cullen Park coming off a really good week at Loretta's. So we talked to him about that and his plans moving forward to move up into the pro ranks here in a few years. And rounding it out, we'll have Coastal Husqvarna's Craig DeLong on. He races GNCC in the XC2 class. So we talked to him about his season so far, recovering from an injury, and what he's got to do to dethrone Ben Kelly. As always, huge shout out to our sponsor, Blood Lubricants, makers of high quality racing oil. But they also have degreaser, chain lube. They have it all, really. And they want to help you out. So make sure you use promo code WHISKEY for 25% off bloodlubricants.com. That's right, promo code WHISKEY for 25% off bloodlubricants.com. As always, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And be sure to check out themotohub.com. Download the app on your phone. We have Google or Android and iPhones. We have them for both. So make sure to download that app and check them out there. All right, let's get into it. On the lap with me right now is North Carolina native. It's Isaac Teasdale. What's up, man? How's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good, dude. Thank you again for doing this.
Oh, yeah. It's my pleasure. It'll be fun. I'm excited.
Yeah, man. So, hey, Unadilla this coming weekend. How are we feeling?
I'm excited. I've actually never raced there before. I raced the amateur track for the regional stuff, so, but never the pro track, so should be fun. I don't think it's supposed to rain, so I guess it'll be a dry one this year.
Yeah, it seems like the last couple of years it's been pretty wet there. So, and I know as a fan, I never really like a mud race. I like the drier conditions. It seems like, you know, better racing. What about you? How do you feel about the mud?
Oh, I like the mud. I don't know why. I think it just throws everybody off their game a little bit and just kind of puts everybody in panic. But also, it's not so like wide open. So, yeah. I like more technical tracks. We're getting better at it.
That is true. That is true. They always say it's a great equalizer. And yeah, I figured you would like the mud after that Millville ride, man. That was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I raced Ironman last year. It was a mudder. I felt like I did pretty well there as well. But at Millville, to get that hole shot, it was pretty wild. For sure.
It was cool to see you were up there. John Short, Henry Miller, and that first moto, man. It was pretty wild. And dude, you guys were up there and like no one was catching you. It seemed like you guys were holding your own. It was, like I said, man, it was cool to see. And I love like the privateers and like not the big factory guys, you know, mixing up in the front.
Yeah, it was kind of weird because, like you said, those two guys are in front of me and kind of felt like we were at an amateur race or we're just battling normal, not being at like second, third, fourth, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty fun doing that. I was trying to get by them and they're trying to keep me behind them, so we were kind of battling up there. I was getting roosted. I couldn't really see that well, but I don't think anybody could.
Yeah,
but that, and so I felt good the first half, and then I just kind of started making mistakes. I stalled it a couple times. It was just one of those days, but ended up finishing pretty well. I was super pumped.
Yeah, man, I'm sure. So, hey, you've done five races. You're sitting 29th in points for your season as a whole. Are you happy with it?
Yeah, I didn't get much time coming in, like prep time or riding, really. Just from after Supercross, I didn't have a bike, so I wasn't able to ride at all. I actually took like a month off of riding, so I was just working out and cycling and stuff. So getting onto the bike like a week and a half before High Point, the first one I went to, it was like I was definitely struggling to do the whole moto. So to see where I'm at now, being able to do the whole 30 minutes strong, and just to see, just being around everybody down here, what I've learned, what they've kind of taught me, it's I'm pumped with my improvement so far.
So you're pitting with the JGR guys. You're not quite on the factory bike. Can you talk about your program a little bit and your deal with those guys?
Yeah, my bike is I'm running the retail engine package that they're selling. So I think it's the head and ignition, and I'm not sure what else. I just kind of ride the thing, but it's not, I think it's just the top end. I think it's all redone as the ignition and stuff like that. And I got some suspension work on there from the guys here, helped me get it dialed in. And then other than that, it's just kind of a stock bike and Pro Taper bars and Yosh pipes, some Pirelli tires, and then we're going to race. But yeah, the be pitted under the rig is pretty insane, honestly. Cause I don't know, everything is, they got like food and drinks, and I got Mikey helping me out for the summer, being my mechanics. He gets everything dialed in. It's definitely a whole different feel than what I'm used to. It used to just be me and my dad at the races, so it makes it a lot easier. And then during the week, I actually live here in Charlotte now, which is near the shop, and so I'm able to train with the guys out at the JGR track and just keep improving, just riding with them.
Yeah, I
We
was.
actually just got done with our cycle. We normally have, JGR has like these launch rides they do.
Okay.
We just got done with our workout
Yeah,
the other day.
I used to live in Huntersville right next to the shop, so I'd see you guys all the time, riding out
Oh,
there.
yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you're not on the full factory bike, but like you said, having like the food, the mechanic, getting the ride there during the week, man, I'm sure that just makes everything so much easier, than the full-on
Oh,
privateer
yeah.
life.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's like you get a taste of what it's like, but it's just been insane. I've learned so much, and you're just the guys you're around, like Jeremy Albrecht, Buddy Antunes, all the suspension guys, engine guys, mechanics, and obviously the riders too. You just kind of see and try to take in what they do and try to emulate that. So I've grown tremendously in the last couple months, I feel like. So mostly the mental side, a lot of it, and just kind of being confident on the bike. Before, like you're never sure of like what you need to do or what the factory guys do. You guys kind of like, man, I just don't know what to do. And so just to be around that, it kind of helps get
Yeah,
your mind in the right place.
it's like the old saying, just surround yourself with guys, like other factory guys, faster guys, and obviously it's gonna improve your own riding too, just being in that environment and look, just the little things, man. It's learning the little things that help so much.
Yeah, it's like yesterday we were doing drills and stuff, but Buddy was just telling me like to get on the gas is whenever a little earlier when I'm transitioning from standing to sitting instead of just wasting that little split second. It's just those little things like going hard out of the corners, pushing everywhere. It's not like we're like learning how to corner really or hit a jump. We're just the little small things at this level is what changes everything.
How did
Like
this or
the
go?
pros like mastered all the little basics,
Yeah, exactly. How did this deal with JGR come about?
Well, originally I asked them for some support, like for help with suspension, because I knew one of the guys here, and then it all kind of came about with like since I'm Cherokee or Native American, I thought that they could do a lot of good work there with the kids and just all the different programs they have already with at JGR with their the resources of their like speakers, all they could bring in, the relationships, just to kind of to give the kids over there like the idea that they can do more than just being stuck back in the reservation. And then just the things that are bad around there, like drugs and alcohol and stuff, they just kind of get stuck in that. It's pretty easy too, which just like with everybody, but it seems to, I know what it's like around there because I grew up there. But just that whole deal came about, and they were gonna talk about just like a sponsorship title thing, and they can do different activities there to help the kids. And so I was pumped about that. And then the deal came about, like I could be on the retail bike, and it just kind of kept growing. Yeah, it hasn't like been finalized yet, but they're talking about it, getting everything situated.
Yeah, I've been hearing that. Obviously JGR's been shopping around for the title sponsor for a while now, and seems like the casinos have a good amount of money. And like I didn't even know about the whole what you just talked about, like getting the kids, showing them they can get out of the reservation, stuff like that. So it seems like a good deal all around for everybody.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Those kids are like the most talented people I've ever seen, honestly. Like the just everyone's super talented. I grew up, actually, I'm kind of unknown because growing up I didn't race all the amateur nationals like everybody else. My dad was actually born in Africa, and they came back to the States whenever he was like 12 or 13 or something like that. And so I didn't really know the whole motocross scene, and then we couldn't really afford to go race every single national. So I played basketball and football growing up until high school, and then I started racing more. But they're super talented. So if they could see that, it's just if they could go for it, that things can happen.
Do you
So, but yeah, it's not necessarily the casino. It's more the tribe itself.
Okay. No,
I know
definitely.
that they wanted to get that, because I don't know if JGR wants to be like affiliated with the casino so much. I don't
Okay.
know.
Okay. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. You talked about you didn't do the whole like amateur national scene growing up and stuff like that. You played at other sports. Do you think that's kept you
Yeah.
fresh throughout your career? Because I mean, you see a lot of these kids, man. 4-year-olds at Loretta's racing, and by the time they're 12 or 13, they're pretty burnt out. So you think that's kept you fresh?
Oh yeah, for sure. I know what you're saying, 'cause like this is all they know. And then just going wide open since they're like 4 or whatever, like you say, I'm sure that'll wear on you. But I always just had fun on it growing up. We'd just go race every once in a while, have fun. And then when I turned 16 or 17, I was like, it's kind of what I wanted to try to do. So then I started working at it harder.
Okay.
But I really enjoyed other sports. It actually helped because I was homeschooled, but the high school wouldn't let me play like regular basketball or football because I was homeschooled, obviously. I was like, I don't want to go to school because it's like 40 minutes away from my house, and I'd be stuck in school all day. I couldn't play outside or ride my bike. So I said, nope, finish the school at my house.
Yeah, I was before we got on, I was 'cause like I said, I lived in Huntersville for a while. I was looking up Robbinsville, where that was, and it seems like you're out there in the mountains, huh?
Oh, we're out in the sticks. And then I'm 30 minutes out from
Okay.
that. I'm up in the mountains even more.
I gotcha. It's definitely, cool. I feel like it's a cool place to grow up, though. Like you said, there's a bunch of other stuff, cool stuff to do. I'm sure you hit the hiking trails and all that as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of tourists that come because there's a road called the Tail of the Dragon,
Okay.
or also the Skyway. The Tail of the Dragon's like there's 318 turns and 11 miles. People come from all over to ride that road, so
Okay.
there's definitely a lot of people
Yeah, my dad's come up
in
and
the summertime.
my dad's went up and done that a few times. A bunch of my buddies have
Oh,
those.
really?
Yeah, a bunch of my buddies have those Honda Groms, so they go up there quite a
Oh, yeah.
bit and just rip the Groms to it, and it looks like a ton of fun. I need to make my way up there.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you ever, that town on the North Carolina side, that's my town, it's where I grew up.
Awesome, man.
It's
Well,
kind of weird. Way out in the boonies.
yep. So, if this whole Cherokee deal, obviously it's early for Supercross next year, but if this whole Cherokee deal goes through, can we see you on a JGR bike for Supercross?
That's what the word is. We'll see when it gets here, but yeah, that's what the plan is. I'm super pumped. Hopefully it all works out.
Yeah, that'd be awesome because it seems I've watched you in Arena Cross and stuff like that, and maybe just because I haven't really seen you race outdoors too much, but it seems like you've got some really good indoor skills.
Yeah, I always grew up doing that arena cross stuff, so like the Ag Center and all the Victory Sports things. I preferred the tighter stuff. And then also, just growing up, I couldn't really afford to go super, like be competitive at Supercross, just like my bike, stock. So I go race arena cross to kind of get. I also had to get the points,
Yeah.
And then I got opportunity to ride for the GPF team last year, or I think it was last year, 2 years ago. And then so I did that the last year of arena cross, and I really enjoyed it. It's fun. At first, it was very intimidating. I've never been on a track like loops like that, and kind of funny to see how you could progress just getting used to the tracks. So I definitely like the indoor stuff, and that be on a factory bike or at least a good bike for supercross would be insane, because I think that's all it is like getting your bike dialed in for that, being confident
Yeah, it seems
with your
like
machine.
at least in the 250 class for sure, just like because there is such a big power difference between the stock bike and a factory 250F, it seems like having a good bike in Supercross is kind of a must.
Oh yeah, especially the suspension. Honestly, actually, yeah, I think suspension is the biggest thing. And also, if you're on a 250, you have to have some power to get over the triples. Like even this year, I was struggling. Some of the jumps could get over the triples. I had to go wide because I'm a little bigger than a lot of the kids out there. But yeah.
I saw you race that new kicker, or obviously the AMSOIL Arena Cross kind of went away, and luckily this new kicker Arena Cross series came up. How was that series, and how does it compare to the one that Feld had?
It's definitely more friendly for amateurs, but they also do a, I think a pretty awesome job making it, have enough separators for pros as well. But like I said, like the 50s won't kill themselves trying to ride around the track or C class or just guys going to have fun. So I think it's a really cool series. And, but we had some battles this year, Chase, Freddie and I, and then also the other guys that show up at different rounds. So I think it was a lot of fun, and I think it'll be a good series this coming year. Is that going to be like the main arena cross again this year, or do you know?
I haven't heard of any other series coming up, and I believe they have another deal with FS2 for the television rights again. So, I mean,
Nice.
I would think so. And obviously, it was like its first year, being like the main one last year. So, hopefully, it just continues to grow. I remember watching it on TV, and it looked pretty legit.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely, we all learned from the beginning of the first round to the end. It definitely grew a lot. Just, I think them getting used to having the television and the TV people kind of getting used to how they run things as well. So it all worked out by the end. So I think next year should be good for them.
Yeah, man, I hope so. The more series, the better, and that's for sure. So hey, Loretta's was this past week. Seen you went there a couple times. What was your best year, and do you have any like really good stories or memories from the ranch?
Oh yeah, it's pretty wild. Like I said, going like just not doing a lot of the races, but obviously growing up when Bird Moto was massive, and you watch all these kids, and you like kind of get intimidated, when you're out there on the track with them, you're like, oh crap, so, and what am I doing? But yeah, I went to Loretta's, I think 3 times. I went first year of the schoolboy too, and I'm not sure where I finished. I think around 10th or something maybe. And then the next year, I went in 450B stock and 250B stock. I got a pair of 6 overalls. And then I don't know if I took a year off or I went in A class next year. But I think after the B class, I kind of, if I did take a year off, it was because I went and worked construction for a few months. It makes money. And so I actually didn't train at all. I rode just on the areas in the A class. So I just qualifiers, I went and raced, and then I didn't even ride before in between the regionals maybe once. And that was at Unadilla actually. I did well there. I think I won 5 of the 6 motos in the 450. I felt good there. I don't know why. And then Loretta's, I think I've got 12th or something overall in the A Pro Sport and probably something similar in A. I just didn't put in the work necessary. So,
Well,
but
hey.
yeah, it was a blast. Like being there, we were up on top of the, was it Stagecoach Hill? We were in the prime location. I remember the first time we went, we borrowed a trailer from one of my buddies. My dad, he built this door and put a air conditioner unit in the where the door is. And we've had some blow up mattresses in there and generator. We just, well, we stayed in the trailer. We
And
had a good time.
that's awesome. That's dude. Like, I grew up racing. I still race hair scrambles down here in Florida. But like, that's how me and my dad did it. Like growing up when I was a kid, every weekend just two air mattresses and a old junky trailer and camped out all weekend. And I think that's the cool thing about Loretta is it kind of gets back to that grassroots stuff.
Oh yeah, it was fun being with my family. That's what I like about motocross. It's like such a family sport. Like your family has to be involved for you to succeed, really. And so you normally have a good relationship with your family, or like obviously there's some bad cases, but for the most part, it's really family-oriented sport, which is sick.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, I went to the Florida National and just walked around the privateer pits. I think every single privateer had one of their parents there with them, and brothers and sisters. And I don't think any other professional sport has that, where it's like you said, just such a you're hanging out with your family like the whole weekend. Like even the factory guys, like Blake Baggett and stuff. His dad's always around, and John Tomac and stuff like that. So it's awesome to see.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they know you. They know how you act and what needs to be said. So for sure, to have them there is pretty awesome.
So looking forward
I love it.
to these last three nationals. What are your goals? What do you want to achieve?
For me, I'm just feeling confident, like in being able to push the whole time now in the moto. So I want to be in the top 15. That's where I want to be. See what happens. Just put in good motos and get good starts again. Like I struggled at Washougal last week or 2 weeks ago. My starts were, I was like way back there, probably almost last. But yeah, to be top 15 would be awesome.
Yeah, you were close at Washougal though, even like you said with bad start 17-19. I mean, it's pretty close if you're coming from the back.
Yeah, I'm pumped. I'm definitely just to be up there like that. So with the guys and how stacked the classes this year is pretty good. I don't know. I don't know if it's like the first year that nobody's really got hurt at all, because
It's so
there's so
stacked.
many fast dudes.
It's a
250 and 450.
The 250 is unreal. There's like 22 factory riders, which is just insane. And for privateers, that just sucks because you can ride your ass
Oh
off
yeah.
and get 23rd, and nothing's going to show for it. But then you look at all the guys that finish in front of you, and it's all factory teams. And dude, yeah, 450 is nuts too. I can't remember the last time. I feel like usually by this time of the year, like you got privateers running like fifth and sixth just because it's the field's depleted. But now, man, it's
Yeah, I know.
I don't really know anyone that's hurt, really. I mean, I guess like Justin Hill, that's really it, I feel like.
Yeah, that's insane. Like, even last year, it was like six dudes, six factory guys, seven. I don't know. Now there's like 14 or something in the 450 class, but maybe 13, 12. Anyways, the gnarly dudes nonetheless in front.
Yeah,
But in
it's
the 250 class, like the 250s are so fast. I remember one time at like press day, I rode on at Muddy Creek. I was on a stock KTM 450, and like one of the Yamahas, the star bikes went by me. It was like we were side by side as in deep mulch, and they're pulling me, and I'm on a 450, and I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" It's like not fair.
Yeah, I don't know if you watched the 250 starts from Washougal, but it was a sea of blue. It was crazy. Those star bikes are unreal.
Yeah, I'm sure all of them are fast.
Yeah.
But yeah, those bikes seem to be on another level, though.
Definitely, man. Well, hey, I really appreciate you coming on. I appreciate your time. And before I let you go, who you want to thank?
For sure, I'd like to thank JGR for just all the support this year. Yeah, Thor, Pro Taper, Yoshimura, Get, DCX Boots, Scott Goggles, Visit Cherokee, and my mom and dad, just everybody that's been supporting me. Been a pretty cool year.
Yeah, man, it's been really cool to watch you out there, and I wish you the best of luck the last three.
Thank you, man.
All
Thanks
right.
for having me on.
Yeah, man, you enjoy the rest of your day.
All right, you too.
See ya. What's up, guys? We've got some exciting news as our sponsor, Blood Lubricants, continues to push the bar with high-quality products. In addition to their already outstanding racing oil, they've added fork and shock fluid, gear oil, chain lube, kick-ass degreaser, detailer, and pre-race spray. Whether you have a UTV, Harley, ATV, or dirt bike, Blood Lubricants has you covered. They're offering sponsorship opportunities from the amateur level to the pro level, and they're already sponsoring top privateers like Tyler Bowers, Henry Miller, and Bubba Pauly. Racing is in their blood, but that's not all. They want to hook you guys up as well.
head on over to bloodlubricants.com. That's B-L-U-D lubricants.com. And use promo code WHISKEY for 25% off your order. No need to rewind it. I'll say it again. 25% off your order with promo code WHISKEY at bloodlubricants.com. Jeff Green, hooking you guys up. High quality stuff. Check it out. Back to the show.
All right, on the line with me right now is a top amateur out of Florida. It's Cullen Park. What's up, dude?
How are you? Thank you for having me.
Of course, man. I had to get a local Florida boy on, and, dude, you crushed it at Loretta's, so, you know, why not have you on now?
Yeah, thank you very much. It was a long week, but I did pretty good. I finished with a podium, so I was happy with that.
Yeah, I was going to ask, man. So it's been a couple of days, I'm sure, since you got back from Tennessee. Are you fully recovered? I'm sure it, you know, drains the body pretty good out there.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a little tired right now, but I'm doing pretty good. It was honestly a really tough week for me. During the summer, I kept having like a lot of problems where I'd get like overheated and stuff during the summer. And I've lived in Florida all my life and always rode here during the summer and had no problem. And I was doing long motos. I kept getting overheated and I'm like, man, something's wrong. And I ended up actually having to stay the night in the hospital like 4 weeks before Loretta's. And like at that point, I'm like, man, like, mm-hmm. I don't know how this is going to go. I was starting to like stress out a little bit. And the hospital was just trying to tell me I was dehydrated. And I drank a whole gallon of water and then a gallon of electrolytes the day before. And we're like, there's no way that I'm just dehydrated. Like there's something else wrong with me. So I ended up going to go see a specialist. And come to find out, I had hypothyroid, which was causing my body to overheat even more, like on the inside, which was causing me to sweat like a ton. And that was causing the dehydration. So literally the Wednesday before I left for Loretta's, I was leaving on a Friday. My results came back and I got on a medication for my thyroid right before I left. And luckily I was starting to feel better, but man, I was stressing there for a little bit.
Geez, that sounds gnarly. And you, dude, this heat exhaustion stuff's no joke. I mean, I'm sure you know, like, look at Chase Sexton, had to miss a couple races from the Florida round just because it takes a long time for the body to recover from that. But man, it seems like you got kind of lucky getting that medication right before the big week.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a firm believer in like everything happens for a reason, and I literally like, so that happened 4 weeks before Loretta's, and I literally had to take 2 weeks of just laying in bed. Like all the way up to Loretta. So I was like, man, like luckily I had been putting in the work and stuff. So I kind of just tried to rely on that. But yeah, mentally, I think it was the hardest part for sure.
Yeah, dude, I would definitely think so. So talking about Loretta's a bit, you rode 250B and a Schoolboy 2. Take us through your week, man. How'd the motors go?
It was pretty good. Going in, I wasn't really sure what classes I wanted to do, but I wanted to be in the classes that I knew like the factory boys would be in. And so that's why I chose the 2B Schoolboy 2. And, man, I started out the week so good. I pulled chip, like, number 26 for gate pick. So I was on the outside, and I ripped a good start. I came out, I think, like, third or fourth, and I was in third. And Fry ended up going down, so I was in second for, like, probably about half the race. And, man, we were at 130 for that race. And to be honest with you, the heat caught up to me a little bit. And Fry and Schwartz ended up getting around me, so I ended up fourth, but I really wanted the podium to start out the week, but it was all good. I was pretty happy with that ride, and then the next moto, I believe I got fifth, and that wasn't bad. I was pretty happy with it. And my third moto of the week, I was running fifth again, and that was 250B, and with three, like, I was coming around for the two lap board to come out, and I blew a motor, so that was a bummer. I ended up DNFing, and that just hurt my overall result really bad. That was a bummer for sure. And then came back out the next morning. I was running fourth, trying to go for third. And we were in the lappers on, like, lap five or six. And the kid got the blue flag a couple times. And in those morning motos, if you're not in the main line, it's a little sloppy because, obviously, they watered a bunch overnight. And, we came up this jump. It was kind of turning, and he was in the main line, so I went outside. And I got wheel spin up in the mud, and, man, it tossed me off pretty good. I shattered my neck brace, and luckily I got lucky. I wasn't hurt, but I salvaged the ninth in that moto. But that was a bummer. That one hit hard. And that afternoon I had the next moto, which I had 39th gate pick because I had the DNF. So I came out of the gate terrible. It was not good. And luckily I just kept digging throughout the moto. I ended up fifth. like with 4 or 5 laps to go, my mechanic, he had written on the pit board P11, and I'm like, man, this is not good right now. Like, I feel like I'm riding pretty good. Mm-hmm. And the last lap comes around, and I don't even remember passing that many people. And he said P5, good ride. And I was like, dang, like, I'm actually pretty happy with that. Like, I just kept charging. And with those long motos, if you can just be strong in the end, the other kids, you know, they're hurting pretty bad. So if you can just keep charging, you're going to make some passes. And that's what I did. And then final moto of the week, I almost didn't make the moto. My bike wouldn't start. And I was in staging and I was just trying to keep calm, and come to find out we got water in one of the electrical parts. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but got it running. I ran up the staging real quick, just made my gate pick and ripped a good start and rode third the whole race. Like, it was probably one of my best rides of the week. And honestly, there was the moto I didn't even think I'd be making. Mm-hmm. So I was really happy to end it out with a podium for sure.
That's awesome. I think anytime you can get up on that podium at Loretta's, it's a good day. I want to ask.
Yeah, for sure.
So you DNF'd that one moto. Obviously, you're gutted, especially after the fourth place in the first one. How do you regroup and refocus and put in a good ride for that third moto? Because obviously, your overall result's going to be hindered. So I feel like for some people, it might kind of be hard to be like, all right, I need to do good this moto, where some people might be like, all right, my week's kind of ruined in this class. How hard was it to regroup?
It's tough for sure, man. Your heart kind of breaks when you're sitting there on the track. And I was in the infield part of the track. So I literally had to watch the rest of the race just go by, just lap after lap. And that was one of the toughest parts, just watching where you know you should be. And I come off the track. I actually pushed my bike over the finish line just so I could get a result instead of a DNF to try to help my my overall result. So that's why I ended up 39th. But yeah, I was hurting afterwards for sure. But I had a lot of family and friends there with me this week, actually. It was really cool. I had a lot of support. And honestly, they were the ones that just helped me out. They were like, man, look where you were, you were riding so well. And then obviously the people see what you're doing, when you're out there, they see that your bike blows up. It's not like you're a 39th place guy, they see that you're up there. So that's what helped me. And I just knew when I had the bad gate pick, man, I was like, I just want to rip a good start and just show these guys, I should have had a top five, top three result.
Yeah, definitely, man. It just, I know for me, it would be definitely tough. And it's funny you mentioned just watching everyone, continue to do the laps where you're like, oh man, I should be right there. Cause I've had breakdowns. I always hair scramble. So I've had breakdowns and probably, only the race I do really good, I'm doing really good, is the ones I break down. So it just makes me even more mad. So I couldn't imagine it at Loretta's. I've never been to Loretta's, never to watch, never nothing. And it looks like you've been there quite a bit. I think 11 years. What's the atmosphere like there?
It's I'll tell you what, at the beginning of the week, it's completely different at the end of the week. Cause when you get there, everybody's fresh, they're excited and everybody thinks they have the chance to win. And it's honestly Loretta's, I'll tell you what, I would say that's one of my favorite races of the year besides Mini-O's. It's just fun. I don't know. There's a lot of pressure on it. And people sense that too. Obviously you ask anybody, they say they want to do good at Loretta's if they can pick one race. And so you pretty much work all year for that race. And so you're there and everybody just is feeling the pressure. And I love that. And how rough the track is and everything, because it's such a big separator. You'll go to your local track and you're racing the local kids and stuff, and they are fast there. And next thing you put them on a gate at Loretta's and you don't even really see them, yeah. That's just what I like about it. It's it's just separated. You see who's the best, and that's what I love about it for sure. And then at the end of the week, after everybody's fresh, then people start getting the results, and it's almost like Saturday, I had a moto at 2:30, which is, I think there are only two races after me to end out the week. And it's like a dead war zone at the end of the week, everybody's just pulling out and not many smiles on faces. And so that's what topped it off too, to get a podium at the week, just get to go home with a smile on your face,
Yeah. If you had to pick one moto to be your best, the last one's probably pretty good, leave on a high note.
For sure. Yeah.
Why Yamahas?
So I started the year, last year I was on 125 Yamahas, and I ended up having to get shoulder surgery after Loretta's. I just tried to keep that quiet, and obviously I had to skip Mini-O's, and then I got released to start riding, and I didn't even have any bikes. I was literally bikeless, and I had an offer from a team it wasn't obviously like a factory team, but I ended up turning that down because I just felt like I might have been better on my own. And I ended up going to go get Huskies, and that was going well and stuff. And then went to Freestone, and I was having some bike problems on the Huskies, but it was no one's fault or anything. And my dad ended up talking to one of the Donnie Luce at Yamaha, and the deal I could get on a Yamaha was so much better than a Husky. Obviously it's just a cheaper route, and Yamahas are just good bikes, you know? And, I got on one, I tried one out, and I loved it. Like, I just like the way they handle and the frame. I don't know. They just corner so well. And, then for Loretta's, I got a mod bike. It's my first ever mod 250. Like, at Spring Nationals, I was on a stock Husky. Not many people knew that. And like, even for regionals, I was on the Yamaha stock, everything. And finally for Loretta's, I got a mod bike from JMS, James Saylor. He built me like a really good motor. I literally think my worst start was, like a fifth. Besides that moto, I had the 39th gate pick. That one was obviously bad, but my starts were so good. The bike was good. I had no excuses, you know, like, it was just, I don't know, I just love the bike for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, like, no secret, those Yamahas are super good bikes. I think they have the best motor out of all its 50s. I think they won every single shootout last year, so, and that's the reason a lot of privateers are on them, and it just makes sense.
For sure, yeah, they're good bikes.
So, it says here Claremont, Florida, but I wasn't, you know, obviously that's a hotbed right now. A lot of people live in that area, or Center Hill, or I guess where Baker's is and stuff like that. Are you at one of these training facilities, or, you know, just riding on the weekends? What's your program like?
No, I'm from Claremont, and it's pretty cool, you know, like, you'll just go maybe get something to eat and you'll run into someone like Ken or someone like that. Like, it's really cool, but no, I've never been to a training facility. I actually went to full-time school until public school. Until junior year, I did half days where I was still going to school. And then my senior year, I was doing one class in school, in regular public school. And then I had two or three online classes. So that was like the first year where I kind of did a little bit of homeschool. Mm-hmm. But I graduated normal public school. I've never been to a training facility or anything like that. And last summer, I'd worked with Tim Ferry. He helped me out a lot getting ready for Loretta's on the 125. And then this year, I was actually training with DJ McFarlane.
Okay.
He's RJ Hampshire's guy too. And then Rambler Alves. Like, there was a really good group, and those guys, riding with those guys every day, like, it's fun and it's tough for sure. They beat you down. That's so it makes it tough, but it definitely helped me.
Yeah, I always say this, riding with faster people is always gonna help you rather than riding with people that are slower than you, just maybe not as, you know, advanced. So what do you learn? What does DJ kind of like teach you, where obviously, you know, he's, like you said, he's RJ's guy. What can you take from guys like DJ and RJ and Ramey Alves, and, you know, apply it to your program?
The biggest thing I could tell you I could take for them, like 100%, is just mental toughness. Like, no matter what you're going through, like, those guys don't care. Like, and they'll tell you, like, at the race, like, nobody cares what you're going through. Like, they just see what's going on the track, and that's all they care about. So literally you just have to like block everything out and just worry about yourself. That's it.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. So when you're not on the bike training, what's your go-to? Running, mountain biking, road biking, what's your go-to?
For sure right now is road biking. I used to be a big swimmer. I was actually on a swim team. I was doing like 2-hour swim practices each day, but after my shoulder surgery, the doctor doesn't want me doing that anymore. But so now it's just cycling and just like little light stuff.
Okay. Yeah, that's swimming, man. That's definitely really good cardio.
Yeah, I love it for sure.
So, you know, I think the first time I heard about you, Cullen, is you showed up to some FTR races. I think at least one, maybe two. Do you like racing the hair scrambles? What do you think about them?
Yeah, I had a great time at them, actually. I did one at Gatorback, and obviously, like, people told me that's not a real hair scramble, but with all the moto tracks on it, mm-hmm. but it was so much fun. Like, and when I was signing up for, I think I raced 200B. I think that's what it was. And man, when I was signing up, those guys, they were brutal. Like, I don't know what it is, but with moto guys that show up, like, I don't know if they just don't like us or what, but I was signing up and I'm like, hey, yeah, I want to race the 200B class. And the guy at sign up literally told me, he's like, you sure? Because whenever you get your butt kicked, you can't go down the C. And I was like, dang, like, they're brutal. Like, I'm like, no, I'll just stick with the B. And I ended up winning the class, and I did all the laps and everything, and I was pretty strong in the end, but my hands were shot. Like, those races are gnarly, but they're a lot of fun. I'd like to do some more in the future if I can, for sure.
Yeah, it's, you get some of those people at those races, and I think people that work so hard to, you know, get up, move from C to B to A, and then they have someone show up where it's their first hair scramble, and, you know, like, you try, they probably don't knew of you, so they're like, oh, it's this kid's first race, one sign for B, so it's probably just that. But yeah, like, especially Gatorback, we used to get a lot of moto guys. I know Ricky Renner showed up to a few, Kyle Keelan, Matt Bonney, Jordan Bailey raced the Gatorback one. I know that. I think he rode B class too. I don't think people were too happy about that either, but yeah, they all say it's a lot gnarlier than they think it is.
Yeah, for sure. It's long, man. Like, I was like, I just want to do all the laps, and I came around, and I'll be honest, I think it was like a 4 or 5 lap mm-hmm. race, and whatever my second to last lap was, I was hoping I was coming around as the checkered, and I had one more lap, and I was done on the last lap for sure.
Yeah, dude, especially, I think I was at that one that you're at too, at that Gatorback one. It's we've been, you know, racing there for so long that it's so chewed up, and it's just so square edge, and it'll tear your hands up really good.
Yeah, my thumbs were shot afterwards for sure.
So what are some plans moving forward? Obviously, you know, racing B class and amateur now. Any plans to do some, you know, Supercross futures or anything like that?
Yeah, so I'm gonna finish out the year. My main goal, like literally all summer long, when I was training for Loretta's, I was thinking, if I do good at Loretta's, I can get an invite to Monster Cup. And from the rumors I heard, come to find out, you don't even get invited to Monster Cup anymore. That I don't know how true it is or whatever, but that I had to do some Supercross future races. And I did, I went to the one in Nashville and it rained out mm-hmm. and I didn't think there was really a reward for racing it. So I pulled out of the race, and come to find out, I think I might have needed to race that to be able to get eligible for Monster Cup. So I'm hoping that's not the case, but I really want to be at Monster Cup. That race just looks so cool. Like, it's a good experience, and I just want to showcase myself there for sure. So if I can get into that, you'll see me at Monster Cup, and then Mini-O's, obviously. And then you just get ready for the Spring Nationals, and for sure this upcoming year I'll be doing, because I'll be going to A-Class now, A and Pro Sport, and I'll definitely be at those Supercross future races trying to get my Supercross points to be able to go pro the following year. Okay. For 2021.
Yeah, and we got Tampa Supercross this year again, so that'll be a nice one close to home.
Yeah, for sure. I'm really hoping that I'm able to go pro in 2021 and Tampa's there, because, like, I mean, obviously Daytona's probably going to be there, but if I could do East Coast and just, like, have a home race, like, I think that is just the coolest thing.
Yeah, like you said, man. And you can tell, like, when riders, like, go, I don't know what it is, maybe it's just the atmosphere, they're comfortable there, like, they always do better at their home races, it seems.
Yeah, for sure. Like, RJ crushes it at Daytona all the time and stuff. Like, it's just cool. Like, I cannot imagine the feeling of, like Adam when he won Daytona mm-hmm. a couple years ago. Like, that feeling has just got to be insane. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, dude, 2 years or 2021, you'll be out there. You know, you'll get that feeling.
Yeah, for sure. That's the goal.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you for coming on. And before I let you go, who do you want to thank?
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I'd like to thank, first off, the Lord Jesus Christ for keeping me safe, my mom and dad, DJ, RJ, Rami, BTO, Cycle Trader, SLR, 60 Helmets, Answer, Oakley, Twin Air, EVS, Factory Connection, Ziggy. They were a big help for me at Loretta's. My mechanic, Chris McCracken, Robbie Renner, my whole family, they're supporting me. And whoever else I forgot, thank you very much.
Awesome, man. Well, you enjoy the rest of your night, and best luck in your future races.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I add one more?
Yeah, go for it.
Also, SLR Rifleworks, they've helped me out so much. I like to thank them too, and yeah, for sure.
Awesome, man. Well, you enjoy the rest of your night.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
See ya. All right, on the line with me right now is a GNCC XC2 rider for Coastal Husqvarna. It's Craig DeLong. What's up, dude?
How's it going?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you again for doing this.
Yeah, no worries. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, man, I had to, dude. You're, you know, crushing it in the XC2 ranks in the GNCC. You know, obviously coming in with a little bit of an injury, but how are you feeling about your season so far?
It's been good. I'm happy with how I was able to kind of turn around, and I've been on the podium every race so far except for one. And so, yeah, I'm really happy. I wish I could have gotten a win by now, but Ben Kelly, he's on a roll and he's driving really well right now. So to get a win against him is going to be tough. So yeah, it's one of my goals for the last couple of races and see if we can end on a high note.
Yeah, man, it's got to be tough coming in late to the series, huh?
Yeah, it was rough for sure, you know, because everyone had, you know, three races on me, and my first race I ran 2 days, like an hour apiece, before I went and raced, so I was kind of wasn't really in riding shape at all, so I just kind of went out for seat time and you know, salvaged in eighth place, but it was still good to you know, get back into it, and yeah, just, you know, seat time is always good.
And what was the injury?
I ended up breaking my collarbone at the full gas sprint enduro.
Okay. Yeah, man, did you get it plated, or you know, did you just wait it out for it to heal naturally?
No, I had to wait it. Every doctor I talked to said to wait it out and let it heal naturally because of just the break and how it was. And they said surgery kind of would have messed it up, so I had to wait and let it align and heal naturally, which kind of slowed the process down, but I'm happy I kind of did that because it made me, you know, put things into perspective for me, and I think it was good.
And so you're riding for the Coastal Husqvarna team. My buddy Ben Parsons is your teammate. How did that deal with this team come about?
With Ben?
With Coastal. I think were you on it last year too, right?
Yeah, I've been on the team since the beginning, back in 2016. I've been through it all. So I was a support rider for Husky back in, you know, I rode them back when BMW owned them and they were the Redhead Huskies, and transitioned into KTM, and then I got support from Andy Jefferson and then Timmy Wigan. And then Coastal was starting up, and it was kind of – Coastal was a support team for Husky at that point. So I just kind of smoothed over from being like a factory support rider to riding for the Coastal team. So it just kind of worked out.
It was pretty cool when that – you know, the Coastal team did, you know, start – and when it came on board and showed up with their rig and all that, you know, obviously it's always good when you get more support out there. And it seems like the program just gets better and better every year.
Yeah, it's been great. You know, everyone it's kind of really close. I mean, I've been around, like I said, this would be my fourth year, and you know, everyone's really close and gets along real well. yeah, I mean, it's pretty much as close as you can get to being a factory. I mean, I get support, really good support from Husqvarna, and you know, we have, you know, the good suspension, good motors, and you know, our stuff is close to being factory, so it's you know, it's not a bad deal.
So you mentioned obviously on the podium five races, only missed it on that first one back. What's been your best race so far, or maybe like your favorite race, one you felt the best at, and why?
I'd have to say the last one in Pennsylvania. I just had a good day, got a good start. And I led for probably half the first lap, and then Ben Kelly actually called me, and we rode together for probably an hour and 40 minutes. And it went back and forth a little bit with him. And that was by far the best ride all year, just because of being able to ride with him and just follow him. And we were, the first lap, we were first and second overall, and then second and third. And so, yeah, it was just, all around, it was a good day. I petered out at the end, and he got away from me, but still it was a good ride for me, and definitely a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I remember I was watching that race on the Racer TV, man. It looked fast out there.
Yeah, it was for sure. There was a lot of fields, and like probably half it was field and half it was wood, so it was really fast track, and it wasn't very difficult, so... it didn't really separate a lot of people, which was probably why we stayed so close for a while. It was kind of, I want to say simple, but it was pretty simple, actually.
When you get all those fields, man, and you know, anyone can hold her wide open. So obviously, there's not, like you said, there's not a, a lot to, you know, really separate. Not a lot of mistakes are probably going to be made in the field. So it definitely makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. So it was for close racing, and yeah, it was by far probably the best race all year, I think, for me.
Do you feel you're better in like the more open stuff like that, or the real technical stuff like a snowshoe?
I don't know. Some days it varies. I think the open stuff I've kind of gotten better in over the years, just with riding GNCCs and stuff, just adapting to that. But the technical stuff is kind of what I grew up riding, and I still enjoy riding that kind of stuff because it's different, because the GNCCs are more fast, like faster paced and mm-hmm. not really that slow. So, you know, when I can ride in more technical and like more trail, it's a lot of fun.
I gotcha. And, you know, one thing I wanted to ask you, if, you know, for those of you who don't know, in GNCCs and XC2 class, you can either do two stroke or 250F, and you're on the 250F. Why the four stroke over the two stroke?
I was actually faster on it.
Okay.
A few years ago, back in, I think it was 2016, I rode a two stroke the whole year, and I did back-to-back comparisons from two-stroke to four-stroke, and I was actually faster on the four-stroke just from getting on it and riding it. So, yeah, it's kind of made me switch, and that was 3 years ago. So, yeah, it's been – last 3 years been on a four-stroke, so I don't really see myself mm-hmm. changing back either.
It seems like over the last – few years the 250Fs have gotten a lot better, a lot, you know, more bottom end, a lot more power, and they're just as competitive now. I feel like most you know, most of the top guys in that class are on the four stroke.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays everyone's on a four stroke except maybe I want to say four or five two strokes actually.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, my race bike is just as fast as a 250 two stroke, or maybe even faster, you know. It runs really well. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, the two strokes are really good on the starts just cause they start a little faster and can get the jump. But I think once you get going, the four strokes, they like overall, they get better traction, I think. And they run better, I think. Also with, I think they're easier to ride as also, just, yeah, more like less, what's the word I'm looking for?
You can less, like, you can kind of lug it more, don't have to be on the pipe as much, and really, maybe, I don't want to say like working as hard because you are, but I know what you're trying to get at. It's just maybe a little simpler, and you can just, in those few areas, you can just lug it a little more and save some energy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
I mean, that, go ahead, sorry.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to kind of carry on what I was saying, but that's pretty much it.
I gotcha. So one thing I've noticed, Craig, and I'm sure you've noticed it too, man, it seems like you and your brother, who's riding XC1, seem to finish right around each other. What's that like, riding with him?
It's actually a lot of fun. Just someone I get to push for, to try to catch, and just kind of like a little rival, not really a rivalry, but kind of just like some bragging rights, you know, like after the race, I can like, give him a little nudge and be like, hey, I caught you, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure it works in, like, both your favors. Like, obviously, he doesn't want you to catch him, and then he's got that one-minute head start on you, so I'm sure you're really, you know, pushing hard to try and get him just for that little bragging rights. I got a little brother, so we're the same way.
Yeah, it's actually really cool, like, lately I've been catching him, like, the last hour or so, and it kind of, like, I think it recharges him and kind of like, because mm-hmm. I catch him, he like wants to stay with me and stay with me to keep going. And I want to, you know, not let him get back by me. So I think it's good for both of us. It keeps us pushing, and just like a little carrot dangling in front of you, you know, just to push for. So it's fun. Every time I catch him or something, it like always kind of makes me smile and like enjoy it. So yeah, I can't beat it.
It's almost like a race within a race. You know, it's like obviously in the grand scheme of things, you just want to, you know, want to win XC2, you want to win your class, but it's also like, oh, and I want to catch Andrew.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So right now, obviously, the GNCC series is on a summer break, but you're not taking much of a break. You went out west and raced some works?
Yeah, I did. Last week, myself and Thad Duvall went out to do two rounds of the work series out in Washington. And, man, it was a blast. Completely different terrain. I mean, a lot of guys, Timmy Wigan from Husky, he used to race that series a few years ago, and he said that's as close as you get to the East Coast, you know, for being on the West. So I got really lucky and was able to put my bike on the Husky Semi, and they were able to take it out for me. And, it was a lot of fun. I mean, it wasn't super similar to the East Coast, but at the same time it was, you know, because it was kind of more woodsy, but it was still pretty open. But just the dirt and the terrain and everything was different, so it was something – small learning curve, but I mean, it was a great time and a really cool experience.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the results now and I see a lapse time 2 hours. You know, I must have been mistaken. I always thought like works were like almost like the two moto format. So how do the works races work?
I think a few years ago, they used to be the two moto format, okay. But now they went back to just a 2 hour hair scramble race. And, okay. It was a little bit different. I mean, like, not over here, but on the East Coast, I mean, local series are two-hour hair scrambles, you know, dead engine start, and then, you know, usually end around an hour 45, an hour 50 minutes. But there it was a motocross start, and it was, like, 10-minute laps. So we did, I think the one race we did 8 laps, and the other race we did 10 laps. So a lot of laps, real short. And it was really, really intense. I mean, tight racing. I mean, the most gap that I had between someone was probably 20 seconds during the race. So, like, I mean, one small bobble, like, they were right on you.
I got you.
So,
almost like a two-hour motocross race in the woods.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think I finished, my average heart rate was, like, 189, and my max was 214.
Jeez.
So, like, it was, like, a full max effort, so... It was fun, completely different, and racing with different guys was really cool. And I've never raced out west like that. Like, I think the farthest I went was like Colorado before. Mm-hmm. So, really cool, really fun, and I'm glad I was able to do it.
What's the terrain like up there in Washington?
You know, we kind of had a little bit of everything. The first day we got there, it was dry and dusty, and really slick. Underneath the dirt, it's like almost like rock. So like there's a little bit of topsoil and then it goes right to rock. So it's there's some good dirt there, but then it goes right to rock. So you know, I think Wednesday was the first race. It was dry and dusty and you know, not too bad. And then we got rain Friday morning. And it was really, really slick. It was, I want to say slick, like more slick than it is here on the East Coast when it rains. Just with how hard it packed it was.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, those guys, they struggle a little bit because it doesn't rain a lot kind of like that out there. So we kind of, I think Thad and I had a little bit of an upper hand on them when it rained. But those guys are still fast. They still know how to ride dirt bikes. It's not like they're beginners, so they picked it up and yeah, they rode really well.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the names here. Obviously, you have Thad, and then Ricky, and then you from the GTC. But Taylor Robert was out there, Ricky Dietrich, Andrew Short. Like, these guys are no joke.
No, that's for sure. And you know, they know how to go fast. You know, half of the track was moto track, and then you know, like a little bit of a vet track, like GP track, and then woods. So, like, on the moto track and the vet track, like, those guys, not scared to go fast, that's for sure. And then in the woods, I was a little more comfortable in the woods than I was out in the open, so I was able to kind of catch back up to them guys and keep it close. So it was kind of like a yo-yo effect, and, yeah, just made things fun.
I gotcha. And you may mention, obviously, it's the break in the series for GNCC. Do you like having this break, or do you kind of wish the series would just go on? You could kind of build that momentum. Obviously, for you, having the later start, the break probably wasn't the best timing.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of up in the air about that, actually. Like, part of me wanted to keep racing just because I kept getting better and better. But then part of me was like, man, I need a break because I haven't stopped since I came back from an injury because I was, you know, trying to play catch up. So I was doing every local race and doing some every weekend. So I was kind of wanting the weekend or a week off. And I think it's been good. I'm glad I was able to take some time off and kind of recharge the batteries. And yeah, we're ready to go. But I mean, it's been summer vacation, but it hasn't because I'm doing the full gas sprinter.
Yeah.
There's been two of those races so far, and then me going out west to Washington. So it's really kind of been busy, but it's been different. So it keeps it more like keeps it fun and keeps you from getting burned out. So, but yeah, I'm ready to get back to it and get it over with.
Yeah, man, definitely. You've also been doing this a long time, so I guess you're kind of used to that summer break, too.
Yeah, it's kind of, not really, nothing new to me. Just got to take it easy and do some other things, you know, and catch up with stuff around the house and try to stay busy.
Let's take it way back here. How did you first get, you know, started riding dirt bikes? When did you start, and how'd you get into it?
My dad used to race and ride back in the day, and then he got my brother into it, and then he's 6 years older than me, so I was obviously a lot younger than he was when he started. So he actually got hurt and broke his collarbone when he was like 13, and then that's when I did my first race. I was like 7. I started riding when I was 4, and I did my first race when I was 7 because he got hurt. And I remember it was like a day or two before the race, and he got hurt. And we were going either way, but my dad was like, well, looks like it's your turn. So, yeah, I just started from there and then haven't stopped.
Did you ever do any motocross, or is it just strictly trails from the beginning?
No, yeah, it's been strictly just hurdles and some local enduros and national enduros. I've done one motocross race in my life.
Oh, it's funny. But, I was looking through, because obviously Loretta's just happened, and then I have a couple of guests on for each show, and I had a Loretta's kid on. So I was going to go, I was going through to see if maybe you raced it. I was going to ask about you, but sounds like it was never in the cards for you.
No, I've been the Woods guy ever since. A lot of guys, they joke about me, like when I go to a moto track, I'm the guy with bark busters and a big tank, and just I jump straight, you know. I don't really do a, can't really throw a whip or none of that. So, but I ride it. I enjoy riding motocross, but not really that good at it.
I got you. Well, it seems like the trails worked out pretty well for you. So for XC2, obviously Ben Kelly's been really good this year. He's won all 9. What's one thing you need to improve on just to dethrone him, I guess, just take him down?
I need to get more physically fit for the last hour of the race. I was there for, you know, almost half the race, and that last hour he almost turns it up and keeps going. So yeah, something like that. And that's pretty much it. I need to get a little stronger that last hour to keep him in check.
Awesome, man. Well, dude, hopefully all this riding you're doing over the summer break, you know, obviously that's going to help.
Yeah, I think so. And if I can come out the last couple of rounds and swing in and you know, give him a challenge.
Well, awesome, man. Thank you again for coming on. And who do you want to thank?
I got to thank the whole Coastal Racing team and for all their support the last couple of years. And Husqvarna, Moose Racing, Bell Helmets, Alpine Star Gear, or Boots, I'm sorry, Mobius Brayton Knee Braces, X-Brand Goggles, Carry Resources, my parents, my girlfriend, friends and family. Thank you.
Awesome, man. Well, you enjoy the rest of your night, and good luck for the remaining races.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you. Thanks for having me on. See ya.
again tomorrow. I'm gonna kick tomorrow. I'm gonna kick tomorrow. Jane says, have you seen my wig around? Who can make it without it? She knows they all want her to go, but that's okay, man. She don't like them anyway. Jane says, I'm going away to Spain when I get my money saved. She can't hurt. She don't mean.